This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
You better believe that was a Boxcar Racer cover, right? Oh, yeah. There is.
Yeah. So What is Boxcar Racer?
Boxcar Racer was Tom DeLonge's side project. When Blink-182 was struggling, he sort of started another band, and he was in Boxcar Racer. That was before Angels and Airwaves. It was before Blink broke up, before they got back together, and before they kicked Tom out Tom left, and he was replaced by Matt Skiba of the Alkaline Trio.
So that was by Paul Lumpkin, who says, this is indeed a Boxcar Racer parody of There Is.
Yeah, Boxcar fucking owned. Boxcar was like for when I needed to get a little more emo than Blink would allow, because Blink was like pop punk, goofy, silly. And then Boxcar Racer was like, actually, you're in a mood right now. That's what Boxcar Racer was for. Boxcar Racer was sort of Dashboard Confessional adjacent.
Wait, Boxcar predated Blink-182?
No, Boxcar, Tom DeLonge just sort of made a side band at some stage, like late in Blink's career.
Got it. So he's just like, Blink's not giving me what I need right now.
It's the equivalent of like me starting a D&D podcast, actually. So it's like you and I are still doing shit, but it's like doesn't give me creative joy. It's not fun to do for me anymore. It feels like an obligation, et cetera, et cetera. So I start this other side project.
It's what beyond not giving you joy? Like what's et cetera there?
It's not like, I guess not giving me joy, but also the et cetera, is that I feel like it's not doing anything for you and it's making you a worse guy kind of.
No, so, I don't
just
think
like
so.
Small things like that. Like,
don't put that on me. Like, don't consider my emotions because you're clearly not. So when you're saying like, it's making me a worse guy, like forget about that side.
It's also not quite that because like, I feel like Boxcar never really got as big as Blink, so it'd be closer to like
Tom DeLonge starting a side band and it was the Beatles or something.
Sorry, you think Nadpod is like the Beatles?
At least in terms of like our podcast, you know, at scale or whatever. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Oh, like in relation to this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
I see your eyes are glazing over. You've never been happier than when you're talking about this. Your joy right now.
That's right. Yeah. I'm willing to come back to Blink because this is, as long as I can come back and just make fun of your ass, it'll be worth it.
You don't want to lose that aspect. That's the one thing that you still like about this show.
That's right. I can't really make fun of like Murph because he'd kick my ass in a way. So it's funny to make fun of you. Okay.
Yeah, because we're not going to physically go to blows about it.
Especially not over Zoom.
Yeah, we're recording again remotely, of course, the new normal. I'm in Los Angeles. Where are you?
Upstate New York, baby.
Upstate.
Upstate.
As opposed to downstate.
Yeah, you don't want to be downstate.
So you're staying up for the time being, seeing what nets out in New York City before returning.
Yeah, we extended our stay upstate. I think I'd rather be up here than down there.
Makes sense. But for now, we have lightning round style questions to answer. I asked on Twitter. I asked on Reddit. We have dozens of questions. We're going to try our best to go through them because we got to make up for lost time. We haven't answered a question in a month, I think.
Wow. All right. Yeah. So I guess it's about time. So we'll rapid fire some of these bad boys.
That's right. And it is about time because, you know, we're settling into the routine. There's not a lot going on in our lives. There's a lot going on, and yet there's nothing going on. So it's good that we have a lot of questions to draw from.
Yeah.
Do you have a good one to start?
I have one that was upvoted to the top of Reddit.
Whoa.
So, well, I mean, to the top of our subreddit, not to the...
To Karma Heaven?
Yeah. It was upvoted, as it were, to Karma Heaven.
Oh, my God.
And it's actually a legal question, so I hope you can speak legalese.
Okay. An illegal or a legal?
It's a legal question.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, it has to do with rights, ownership, IP. The question comes from...
Okay, hold on. Let me pour over our employment contract from 2005. All right, I'm ready. Right.
Baiko asks... with the release of a new Jake and Amir episode, does that mean you guys have the rights back and will continue to make more? And then a fingers crossed emoji.
At this point, my client has no comment on that topic.
Wow.
We can't get into the legal back and forth right now online, but we look forward to having an answer for you guys as soon as possible.
That was a really nice maneuver. I thought that was...
Whoa,
that
I just got an email. I got an email from College Humor. It was a fucking C&D. Yeah, cease and desist. I shouldn't have said that. I can't even say no comment.
A cease and desist? Well, I'm actually a beast, so I'll resist.
So you get thrown in jail?
For making a rhyme?
No, Sam, who runs College Humor, was, you know, he's nice enough to, when we ask him, oh, can we do a one-off about self-isolation or quarantine? He's not going to say no to that. He understands that it would be fun to make. And as long as we have, like, you know, individual episode ideas here and there, maybe we can make them. We haven't really discussed coming back like on a weekly basis, but maybe there is something there to do.
Yeah. At the very least, we can answer the question and say that we don't have the rights back. We can't legally do this willy-nilly, but
yeah,
we do have a friendship with the guy who owns the rights now versus versus before when it was a giant corporation that would destroy us in court.
With a team of lawyers.
So it feels like one-offs are a possibility. And if people have quarantine ideas, they should actually... I feel like they should tweet it at us because it was a tweet that we originally saw. Because a lot of people were like tweeting at us that it was like we should come back. And I think somebody tweeted that we should do a scroll video. And it just felt right. So if anybody has ideas, tweet them at us.
Yeah, that actually leads into a question we got on Twitter from Lunchtime YT that said, how is it like filming another J&A, the social distancing scroll? Any challenges with writing and filming with quarantine?
Oh, that's actually, it mirrors another question from Mr. Pogram Pro that was How Does It Feel Like?
Well, that's good. So yeah.
I feel like we can answer both of those. Oh, Mr. Program Pro. That makes a lot more sense. I thought he was trying to be cute with the name, but it's just Mr. Program Pro.
You got it. Yeah, so we have a new video on HeadGum's YouTube and our Facebook, the social distancing scroll video. Our first video in, I think, 4 years since the Donald Trump episode. We, you know, brought our characters back. Writing it wasn't hard because, you know, just like riding a bike, we know what these characters are after playing them for 10 years.
Having a scroll video be the one that comes back is a bit more easy because there's such a tried and true formula right there.
Yeah.
You kind of know exactly how it has to go.
The worse that it is, the better it is for the scroll. So if you're just like quickly word association, a random rhyme that's really dumb, that's actually good for the episode.
Yeah. And the rhyme scheme is always laid out by the number itself. So it's a pretty foolproof method. I think the Trump thing probably poured out of us at that point because we'd only even been retired for like a year or two.
Right.
But I wonder. I feel like writing it, we wrote over FaceTime for the rough draft, and then we just passed a script over email to fine tune it.
That's right. And that part wasn't hard. Shooting was a little more difficult because we tried to get the audio and the video right, and we ended up just using the audio from the camera.
Yeah, your video looks better than mine too. My size doesn't match, which was sad for me.
Yeah,
I also like had my computer off of my lap a little bit. I feel like we'll get better at this though if we keep on doing quarantine videos.
It did remind me of like our first videos where I'm like, okay, the video and the audio are both related to the source. Like they're all both coming from the camera. So I can't really like overcut a lot. And then like as I was editing, I was like, oh, this is just what it was like with the PowerShot cameras in 2007, where it was like super rough around the edges. I had to like clean the transitions from your clip to mine and hope the like room tone matched.
Yeah. I thought it looked and sounded solid for the circumstances.
Yeah.
And like, when is the last time we've written a Jake and Amir recently, but when is the last time that we shot one ourselves? That's been like 10 years, right?
Yeah. And our iPhones now are probably a lot better than the cameras that we bought for $600.
Yeah. Our iPhones are as good as the HD cameras that John, the first iteration of those HD cameras that John and Giancarlo were using at best.
That's right. So yeah, writing it was fun. Shooting it might have been a challenge, but acting in it felt natural.
Yeah, I felt like because of the remote recording, there's a little less improv though too. Maybe we can introduce that. I don't know. It's like it's a little harder because you don't want to start talking over each other.
Yeah. So a couple days later, I did a Jeffrey the Dumbass with Jeff, and we did like a FaceTime thing, but he edited it. In post to make it a lot tighter. So maybe I can steal that method of post-production and bring it to the Jake and Amir universe.
That would be cool. Especially because we own every single thought that Jeffrey James has. We locked him up with that like IAC level contract from HeadGum.
Yeah. Now we got the team of lawyers. Yeah,
we own the dreams that he has. Beowulf 0125 asks, will we hear from Hugo again? # Hugo style.
Oh, yeah, I did a D&D podcast before the Great Awakening in Old World times, and I played a character named Hugo, who, do you remember what he was? Was he an elf?
Hugo was a gnome. I believe you were a middle-aged, balding gnome with a belly button ring and high heels. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right.
You were sort of a, you role-played as, I guess, a manager. But
of sorts,
yeah. That was your story, but like mechanics wise, you were a gnome rogue, and you joined the Christmas special of NADPOD. So folks can go back and listen to it. It was chaos. Amir kind of broke the system down all around us. I think we've talked about it, at least the D&D crew has talked about having you come back like kind of annually for the Christmas episodes, which I think is really fun.
Oh, that's nice. I always want it to be a Christmas tradition.
Yeah, that's right. So you won't be like part of the canon story, but you'll be part of the, you'll be Christmas canon, which is a non-canon side mission type thing that we do.
Which is a cool nickname as well. It's like for the Christmas a guy canon. Who's really religious and has an awesome arm. Like Philip Rivers, that could be his nickname.
That's true.
All right, Genghis Roundstone, a.k.a. Roundstone7 on Twitter asks, what's the goat quarantine outfit?
The goat quarantine outfit?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Are you getting dressed? Are you putting on clothes in the morning?
Well, I found the happy medium of getting dressed by putting on sweatpants. Athleisure, I think, is the goat quarantine outfit because I can like wear Nike sweats out where I wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable wearing them to work, but I can wear them like on a dog walk and I can also wear them around the house. And I feel like one step up from pajamas, but still really comfortable and cozy on the day.
Yeah, I pretty much do the exact same thing, but I'll tell you a little life hack that'll make you feel kind of nice. It's like a soft flannel shirt. Something about even like it's still comfortable, but something about wearing something with a collar makes you look really well put together. So a flannel shirt with Nike sweats, that's what I've been wearing.
That's your goat quarantine outfit.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
All right.
Collared shirt, sweatpants.
And a hat. What are you doing for haircuts?
I am not doing anything for haircuts. I'm just letting the hair grow. I have a baseball cap though that I'll throw on if I've got a Zoom call and I'm looking extra greasy. I'll put on a baseball hat. You better believe that. Go Yankees. I hope the season starts someday.
It won't. Are you still showering?
They'll be doing Zoom baseball. Can you imagine? I am showering. Yeah, because I'm working out every day actually.
Oh yeah, that's cool. I want to ask you about that.
About exercise or showering?
Yeah, like what are you doing to work out every day?
I am doing, all right, well, a couple different things. That actually I think have been really helpful. One, just for me personally, I do like a yoga thing in the morning. So wake up, do, it's mostly like a stretch yoga thing. Then I have a group of friends, Jill's friend Alexis and Jill's friend Jesse. They're my friends now too, but they were originally just Jill's friends. We have a little text thread called Core 4, and we will have a Zoom workout with each other every single day. And we plan out a different, like each person takes turn planning the workout.
Oh, wow.
So Alexis has a, she's a member of the Peloton app, so she'll screen share with us and we'll all do a Peloton workout. I have Chris Hemsworth app Center, so I'll share my screen and we'll do a Center workout. And that's kind of nice because you get to see people, you get to work out together, and it feels good to sweat. The other thing that sometimes I do is ride my bike.
Oh yeah, that's nice. A little outdoor.
Yeah. So I work out maybe twice a day. Sometimes three times if I also do a bike ride.
Are you getting a sweat in or is it mostly just like keeping your core and muscles engaged?
When we do the core four workout, I get a solid sweat. Yoga, I don't sweat at all because it's pretty light. It's totally more for like my mental state and feeling stretched out. Bike ride, maybe a small sweat, but it's not too bad. What about you? Are you exercising?
Not really, because like the day before the quarantine, I basically hurt my rib playing basketball. So I was going to have to take 3 weeks off anyway, which led me to like today, basically. So I was like, all right, now I'm ready to play basketball again, but I can't do that. Wow. So I have to figure out how do I get a sweat in? I'll be tall as a jump rope.
All right, there you go. Bands. Do you have any bands?
I don't think we have bands, but between jump roping and like anything that, you know, you could do with an app, like burpees, squats, sit-ups, push-ups, there's enough there for me. I just haven't done it yet. I need to start.
You want to join our Zoom workouts?
Let me build up a little bit of endurance first before you add me to the class.
Yeah, we'd have to come up with it. Core 4 is really solid for four people, so we'd have to find a good name for the five. But we'll figure it out. It'd be worth it, I think.
The Greasy Five, starring Hugo.
We also have a total party kill name.
All right, you got a question?
What is, yeah, Chasing Carly, what is your go-to karaoke song? What's the best karaoke song? Can we get a HeadGum karaoke live stream a la Jackbox?
Wow.
I definitely don't feel up to karaokeing on a live stream. I feel like I can only phone in my happiness so much. But I think, I do like this question because it lets me fantasize about the a day in the perhaps distant future where we can do a karaoke party again.
Yeah, I definitely have not thought about karaoke in a couple months. Karaoke is the opposite of what's going on here. It's getting together in a sweaty room in a place that you would never go to and just like drool, spit, and scream into each other's ear.
Sharing a microphone.
That's like the end of...
That's
the end of the tunnel.
Great. So let's look at the end of the tunnel. Let's just allow ourselves to escape and to fantasize real quick. What's the GOAT karaoke song? This was gonna... me and Micah were gonna do this on the GOAT show like the week before we all had to go into quarantine. So that's why it's also on my mind.
Oh, interesting. It's tough because you want like one that people can sing along to, one that you can sort of... dominate during the verses, but the chorus is like a sing-along.
Mm-hmm.
One that's known to you but also to everyone else. I like Motown Philly a lot from Boys to Men, but it requires men of a certain age,
I see,
on TNT to enjoy it.
I think the GOAT karaoke song is Champagne Supernova
by Oasis. That's a good one. Yeah.
Because everyone will sing, it's just like you said, everyone will sing that chorus. Someday you will find me. I mean, oh yeah, everyone's going to join in on that shit.
Actually, there's another Oasis song that might be better, which is Don't Look Back in Anger.
That's right. I remember, I think you did that at a College Humor karaoke party, and it absolutely crushed.
Yeah, it just for me, it's more fun to sing So Sally Can Wait than Champagne Supernova.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, Champagne Supernova is a little, I think it's like happier.
Oh, interesting. I guess I don't ever consider joy anymore, but yeah, maybe it's happier.
Okay, your turn for a question.
Have you guys started any new hobbies during the quarantine, asks Liv Burke Social, that will continue when it's over?
I was thinking about this yesterday and bringing it right back to exercise. Like, I feel like I've been getting a solid workout with like kettlebells and bands at home, and like doing that work, like a workout with friends, and also just being able to like load up my phone, get a workout done in like 45 minutes versus before when I'd like go to the gym, unpack, put my stuff in a locker, go out, walk around the gym floor, take a shower, go to work. Like, I think I can effectively work out at my house, and it's so much faster. It saves me a ton of time. I think that even in the better days when everything is opened up again, I'm like, I would perhaps continue to work out at home.
I mean, it's not just a ton of time. It's a ton of money, too. You're probably saving thousands of dollars a year just using an app at home.
Yeah, definitely. These apps right now, most of them are doing like long free trials. And there is a monthly cost, but it's definitely less than the gym. It's also funny because I always fantasized about being a member at Equinox and using Kiehl's, that fucking Kiehl's soap and the eucalyptus towels and shit. Like, I could just buy nice soap at my house and I don't need to go to the gym for that.
I can live in an Equinox if I could pay $19 for a bottle of conditioner.
Yeah, that's it. And I would have the fucking funds. What about you? Is there anything that you're... Oh, and maybe cooking. We're definitely cooking a lot more, and I feel like I like what we're eating.
Yeah. Not spending as much money on restaurants might be a hobby that goes forward. I'm making iced coffee at home. By making, I mean buying a jug of it and pouring it into a glass myself rather than going to Starbucks and paying someone $3 to do it for me.
Yeah, yeah. The jug will save you a ton.
The jug saves you mugs.
That's right. Well, actually, don't you use your
mugs?
And
the mugs will save you nugs. I'm just using a classic glass jar, and I'm saving you, like I said, $3 a day times 300 days a year, $1,000 a month, $1,000 a year. And I'm stealing the coffee, so it's completely free
right.
for me.
Wow. That's a come up. Anything else?
We've, amongst my friends, had a online poker game every Sunday night, which is very fun because it's like, oh, how was your week? We're catching up. We're playing poker. And it's like not quite the same as being around a table with friends, but pretty darn close because we're on Zoom chatting with each other, playing on our phones. And then at the end of the night, we Venmo each other. I'm like, oh, this is great. We should do this regardless.
Yeah, that's true. I think Zoom is showing, or I mean, video conferencing in general. I won't promote just Zoom, but like it is, it makes it very apparent how easy it is to see folks that you don't see that often. Like we had a Zoom hangout with like my parents and all my sisters and my brother. And like it's not like we hang out all the time when there's not a pandemic. So it's just this pandemic like got us to all get on the phone at one time. But it's something we could do in better health as well.
Yeah, I'm very curious about this virtual Seder that's going to be happening across America and how that goes versus an actual Seder. We'll have an update on that next week.
The internet's going to crash. Yeah.
The Jews will crash the internet. We'll feel like slaves in Egypt again. Let's take a break and thank some sponsors, and we'll come back with more questions after this.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all of these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized mm-hmm. to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar, but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast, super simple.
It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress, and all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz, and you get 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20, all one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
And we are back. Jake, do you have any?
On to Listener to the Podcast. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross. Yeah, I've been using this app that I kind of like called House Party.
Okay, so first, explain to me, because your brother invited me 2 weeks ago. I forgot to sign up. And then you were like, you got to get House Party. I'm like, all right, I'll sign up. So I signed up for House Party. I didn't know what it was. Looked like Snapchat. I sent you a video. Never heard back. And that's the end of my House Party. So I guess I'm really curious what the hell House Party is, how to use it, why I'm not involved.
House Party, I'm 34, so I'm not like as good at it as my brother. The only way that I've used it is like, you kind of log on to House Party. You see who else is online. Like, my brother and I went online, and like Dave and Jeff were there. So we like could click on their names, and we all basically join into a four-way phone call.
Okay.
And there are games within the app that you can sort of just like launch and play as you're on that phone call. So
I see.
For example, oh, and also, I don't fully know how it works, because when I signed up, when I downloaded it, my sister was there. I pressed her. All of a sudden, I see my sister. And then we were talking, and all of a sudden, Arielle Vandenberg just came on the screen also. So it was like me, my sister, and Arielle.
It sounds like you're describing a dream.
It's crazy. Yes. But like, I think you can lock your house parties, but if they're public, people can just join them.
So it's a video chat with built-in games.
Yes. All right. So this is what we played with my sister and Ariel. We played this game where I guess it's like charades or something, or no, Pictionary. Ariel was getting clues and she was drawing them. So there's like a fourth little screen where we see just like a whiteboard. She's drawing. All of us are guessing. When we guess it correct, she presses a button and she gets the next clue and she's drawing. So we're just guessing what she's playing, what she's drawing, trying to get like a high score.
Got it. So it's sort of like a Jackboxy Quiplash, but built in video chatting within it.
Yes, exactly. Oh, and actually, you know what? I'd recommend like Jackbox and Quiplash and that stuff. I played a game of Drawful with Mike and Sarah and Nick and Laura last week too.
Yeah, those games have been fun. We did a few HeadGum live streams with that, and it's been fun. I think those are also on the HeadGum YouTube channel.
That's right. Yeah, but we should play House Party.
All right. Now that I'm in, you can invite me to shit.
All right, sweet. I will.
I've also been playing Mario Kart online. Funny story about Mario Kart. I've been playing for about a week. I haven't played Mario Kart since like Mario Kart 64. So I guess a lot of the things have changed since then. But I've been playing for about a week, getting better. You can play online with friends. So if I'm playing and Ben's playing and then Jesse's playing and Marika are playing, we can all play, race against each other.
Wow.
So I've been doing fairly well with myself. And then Ben invited one of his friends who's been playing a lot has been playing a lot. And he destroyed us. And I was like, wow, how are you so good? And he's like, well, I think your auto steering is on. And I was like, what's that? And he's like, well, by default, the game has a setting called auto steer, which doesn't allow you to crash into walls and doesn't allow you to fall off course. Like, remember on old Rainbow Rose where you could fall off?
Yeah.
So one of the things I liked about this game is that I never fell off. And I'm like, oh, this is good. I'm like, never. I'm doing pretty good. It turns out I had bowling bumpers on this entire
time. Yeah, you were playing with the bumpers.
And he's like, yeah, that's pretty much like a setting for 5 and 6 year olds that don't know how to play. I was like, oh, okay. So I turned it off and I was awful at it.
Wait, but he was so good because he turned his off?
So if you turn it off, you can go a little faster and you could do some shortcuts that I didn't have access to.
I see.
The only problem is I turned it off and I just started crashing into every wall and falling off every course and getting like off. Like I was using kid mode and I was like, I'm pretty good at this game. And then when I turned it off, I was awful at it.
And now that you've seen the light, do you feel like you can't go back to kid mode, or are you fine going back to kid mode?
I shouldn't, because to attain the level I want to attain, which is to become a competent Mario Kart racer, I have to take the training wheels off and reintroduce the game to myself as an adult.
So you're doing that right now?
Yeah, that's what I have to start doing right now. So we got to finish this episode because I have to. My training starts at 10.
All right. This one comes from Henry JG23. This is a question for the man. So Amir, you can fuck off with that chipmunk shit. Jake, in a time like this, for a lack of a better term, pandemic, everything seems to be changing, but I can always count on one constant, and that is you winning the Golden Mic. Basically every podcast ever, and for that, I thank you. Wow. Okay. My question, I'm glad you asked. If you could go back in time and choose a different animal to be your riding partner, which animal would it be? That's a good question.
Not really. Did you have to read the whole, like... What was there was like a 2-minute little preamble of a guy fucking waxing philosophical about his opinion. That had nothing to do with
it. I thought it was pretty concise and to the point, and I mean, complimentary to us both, which I thought was pretty cool.
To us both.
So I felt like it was, yeah.
He called you the man, he called me a chipmunk, he said you win the Golden Mic and that I don't deserve it. And
yeah, but that was in jest.
All right, just answer the question.
That was in jest. A monkey. I think monkeys are super cute. Maybe like an orangutan, because they know sign language, which is actually a little more than Amir can do. So, yeah, nice, sweet little orange orangutan. I think that'd be pretty cool. I think that'd actually be really cool.
That's enough.
And I could imagine that.
And you're not stopping.
My little monkey friend. I bet he'd give me a run for the money on that old Golden Mic thing. I really do. I feel like we'd have more of a split pile than this one-man show that y'all have been listening to for so long. But nonetheless...
I'd give you a run for the monkey.
That's good. That's really good. That's really good. It's not Golden... Don't look at me like that, because it's not Golden Mic worthy, because you already said that you had a hard out for this show. Which means you're not dialed in. You're not dedicated. And for that, you get a turdy. All right. Do you have any questions?
Yeah. Wait, first of all, have you seen Tiger King, this show that everyone's talking about?
No, I have not. I watched a little bit over Jill's shoulder because she was watching it. It looks fascinating. I will. I'll probably watch it.
Got it. Have you gotten into a new show?
Love is Blind. I got super into Love is Blind.
Have you finished it?
Yes. I finished it in 3 days. And... I really hate reality TV. I like kind of pride myself in not even like just abstaining from it because I like it, but just like it doesn't even appeal to me. And I feel like that's a cool thing about me. And I don't have a lot of those. So I'm like, I really like celebrate the fact that I couldn't name all of the Kardashians if I saw a photo of them. I wouldn't know which one is which, you know? Like, I like that I don't like reality TV. And
sorry, where is this headed?
It's headed...
The fact that you fucking are obsessed with Love is Blind and The Bachelor now?
I'm not I can't watch anything else. But look, I did... The same way that I was watching Tiger King, like, Jill was watching it, and I'm, like, looking over her shoulder. I get, like... I'm like, this is so stupid. I come back. I'm like, who's this guy? And then I come back. I'm like, oh, who is this lady? Like, what, they love each other? And then I like finally am just like, all right, I am into it. I sit down. I watch. I'm obsessed. I watch nonstop for 2 days. And like the finale and the reunion, I treated like it was like the Game of Thrones finale. Like we made popcorn. I sat down. I'm like so into it. It was...
All right, time for a new cool thing that you like about yourself, because not liking reality TV no longer applies to
well,
you.
Well, I only like this one show, okay? I only
You've
like
only
this,
seen this, this one only... show.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch anything else. I can't. I really can't.
But this is what you said. You're like, I pride myself on not even like, not just being one of those guys that gets obsessed with it so he abstains. Yeah, that's what you are now. You would get obsessed with it so you're abstaining.
But I've seen other reality shows and I don't like them. I think that like the maybe reality competition shows are more my speed.
We watched Unorthodox, which I think was a Jill recommendation. And that was awesome too. Sort of the That's opposite right. of reality TV. It was a really interesting, well-done drama, well-acted. So I'm okay admitting that I watched it.
Compelling
like
story.
A really deep dive into the cultural implications and just the production aspect was so fascinating. But Who did you think was the hottest guy on Love is Blind?
Giannina and Damien actually had a really powerful connection. No, I watched Unorthodox too. I'm only three episodes in, but I liked it a lot.
What are you guys looking forward to? Writes Don Juhoti. Once this restrictions are all lifted, so what's one thing that you can say? I'm really looking forward to doing this one specific thing.
Jill and I were on a walk yesterday, and she asked me that exact same thing. I guess I really am just looking forward to like going to a restaurant and sitting on a patio and drinking a bottle of rosé. I really like to do that. And I want to be surrounded by people at a restaurant.
Imagine somebody talking to you and like, you know, they accidentally spit a little bit and it lands on your lip and you don't think you're going to die. That'll be a nice feeling.
That's going to be a hard feeling to come out of. Like it really... Even like going to the grocery store, you know, like when you're in the grocery store, you just give people such a wide berth, you know, like I wouldn't have before, I would have never had a problem with like somebody reaching past me to like get milk. And now it's like, oh, do you need to be the only person in front of the cheese for a minute? I'll wait 6 feet away from you.
A couple passed me on a walk once and I was like, recently, and it was like almost like shoulder to shoulder. I was like, whoa, buddy, did you hear the rules? We're both dead now.
If you're going to pass me, one person's on the sidewalk, the other's in the street. You know that.
Cars don't exist anymore, so you can just start walking in the middle of Fifth Avenue.
Walking is really nice with so little traffic, and riding my bike has been really nice too. Yeah. What about you? What are you looking forward to?
Going to the office, seeing coworkers again face to face, potentially going to a social event, a gathering of sorts, playing basketball with 15 friends at the same time. That'll be a fun get.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And watching basketball. I haven't watched basketball in 3 weeks now.
Actually, one of these questions is about basketball. Lush says, why did this virus hit when the Lakers were doing really well? I had them going straight to the Final Four with
Yeah, I was talking to some b-ball buddies about which basketball players would be the most upset if the NBA season gets canceled, which it's starting to look more and more every day like it will be. I think somebody asked that on Twitter.
Like what?
Oh, yeah.
What is the alternative? Like, are that they'll come back in June for like a will they extend the season? Or is it just going to be like whoever had these records is going to be in the playoffs when they come back?
So LeBron is good, is the guy who asked, is the NBA season coming back? They're sort of holding out hope to be like, all right, there was 20 games left in the regular season, but if we skip that and go right to the playoffs and it started in July, could we do like an abridged version of the playoffs? How much can we sacrifice without it not being like a true champion? Because nobody wants to like ramp up, start playing, and then everyone's like, oh, that wasn't a real champion anyway. That doesn't count. LeBron didn't really get his fourth ring. That was a weird playoffs, an asterisk, if you will.
It feels like the teams are so like, but the big teams are so good that I would not be like, that's not a real championship. It just feels like the basketball teams themselves are so much more interesting than they were last year that I would still be into a championship and I wouldn't be like, that's an asterisk.
I mean, people are watching NBA players play video games, so people will watch for sure. The question is, like, what will be the level of play when you tell professional athletes, like, all right, take a month off and stay in your apartment. Don't even shoot a basketball for a month. It's like, all right, and let's start playing the playoffs. You're like, these people are going to be rustier than they are in the preseason starting playing a postseason. It just doesn't work. And then you can't have crowds there, you know, for at least until there's a vaccine, I would think. You can't have 20,000 people in an arena. So they're playing by themselves in an empty arena, maybe in a city that hasn't been affected a lot. Like there's been talks about, let's get every playoff team and put them in Kansas City for a month and just have them play like on one court, a rotating tournament style. But then you have to test everybody and we don't have testing capabilities. It just seems like it's too tall of a task right now.
Yeah, and then like one person gets it, and the NBA looks very, very bad.
Yeah, exactly. Or like you have a team of doctors there, not in New York City, because they want to like test Dwight Howard to see if he has a fever before playing a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've already moved on to canceling football. Canceling basketball is old news. Let's talk about a league that starts in September and if we're going to be able to play that.
Mm. Damn. I wonder what they're going to do with Premier League.
Yeah, in Europe it's even worse, sort of, because, you know, Spain, Italy, they're being affected more than America.
Favorite delivery food?
Have you guys done takeout and delivery, or are you guys being super cautious about that?
We have just been cooking everything. What about you?
Yeah, same. I mean, it feels silly because, like, you know, you're supposed to support local restaurants and get takeout. But for whatever reason, it scares me to, like, have a delivery person or somebody preparing the food. And I don't know. We're being, like, extremely extra cautious. But I guess it can't be transmitted through hot food anyway. So maybe it doesn't matter.
I just feel like everyone has such a strong opinion on, like, supporting your local restaurants or, like, don't have any contact with the outside world. Like, I just don't know. I kind of hate it, honestly.
Yeah. I have friends who have been super cautious and cooked every meal at home and now feel sick. And I have friends that get takeout all the time and just feel fine. And a lot of it feels the luck of the draw.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a silly question from Derb X, X Gerbs X. What's grosser, a banana mayo sandwich or a peanut butter pickle sandwich? So how about which one would you rather eat of those two?
It's banana mayo and pickle peanut butter?
Yeah.
Damn, it's tough. I like both mayo and bananas separately, of course. I love peanut butter, and I don't like pickles that much. But I think that the sweet and sour mixed with the peanut butter will probably go better. So I'll do that.
Yeah. I think the mayo thing rubs me. The mayo and banana just seems like a creamy, yeah, mushy mess to me. Peanut butter pickle.
And mayo,
I'm intrigued.
I could picture peanut butter pickle somewhere on a menu. A very adventurous one. But not banana mayo. That feels like a dare.
You had one?
Yeah, this is a nice little one to end on. Okay. Which one of Ben Schwartz's characters from J&A would die quickest during a pandemic, and which one would thrive? That is from Chunk of Water.
Ooh. So we got the park ranger one who's out and about, sort of socially isolating. He seems like he can survive longest.
Oh, that's true. Which one is the park ranger? Is that Scobie Lossus Jim? No.
It might be Carrot Slat.
Really?
Oh, no. Wait. Bear Grylls. Oh, no, this is Stanley. So his name is Stanley, I think.
Stanley. Yeah, that's right. Stanley.
Stanley Grylls. Who the fuck is Stanley Grylls?
The one that would die is the interrogator, office interrogator. He blew someone. That wasn't socially distant at all.
Yeah.
Blew a stranger.
What was that guy's name? The one who wanted to find out who's shitting the copier.
Oh, man. I truly have no idea. Is there a list somewhere? I think there is.
Yeah, there's Carrot Slat. There's Scalby Losses Jim. There's Joe Rogan. No.
Oh, look.
Seth Rogan.
There's, okay. So it looks like he's got Amir Blumenfeld, Jope, Scalby Losses Jim, Stanley, Carrot Slat, Charles Krushtust.
Oh.
Sulu Candles.
Right.
Cherry Dude. And Ben Schwartz.
So do you remember which one was office interrogator? It's one of those middle three.
I don't know. There's also some, I think there were a couple times where he didn't have a name.
Yeah. I'll guess Charles Krushtust.
Charles Krushtust?
Yeah.
I'll guess that he didn't have a name.
No, that's impossible. Unnamed. That was the only joke we would pre-write.
Yeah. Well, that's my theory, and I'm sticking with it.
Final answer. No name.
No name. You can add us and let us know.
Yeah, let us know. All right. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for your questions. If you want more questions, or if you have more questions or theme song submissions, send them to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Emails are still up and running.
They sure are.
That's one thing the pandemic can't take away from us.
Not yet, anyway.
The opening one was that Boxcar Racer parody I don't know if I said his name, Paul Lumpkin. He says, cheers and go dogs. He wants to shout out his...
I believe you did say his name.
He wanted to shout out his boys, Dylan and Jordan. So thanks, Paul, for writing
Yeah,
thanks, Paul, for writing the opening Boxcar Racer parody. And this closing one was written by Dara Connolly. Dara, it's like an Irish name, D-A-R-R-A-G-H Connolly.
Oh, yeah, I had a friend named Dara growing up.
So he said he wrote a theme song to episode 23, and it took him another 7 years to make another.
Wow. I hope it's worth the wait.
So thanks, Dara. Thanks, Paul. Thanks to you guys for listening. And we'll be back next week.
Peace.
Stay home. Stay safe.
Stopped into the shop while I was making my way home. I brought credit for my phone and a honeycomb Toblerone. I downloaded the latest episode of Jake and Amir. The audio wasn't very clear, but I had to persevere. Headgums for me, headgums for you. Let's all watch If I Were You. A show for me, a show for you. Let's all watch If I Were You.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Hmm? Okay, I will. It's
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.